This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further along in Proverbs chapters 13 and 14 with hope deferred, whoever walks with the wise, a faithful witness, the backslider, and strong confidence. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
redeemed his people.
Thank you.
reading from Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, we have come to the last lap of the academic school year. And for some of you, it's the last lap before you go into the church to serve as ministers of Christ's church. For others of you, it's the last lap on the way for what will at some time be the last lap. And to introduce and initiate this last quarter, I have been given a text to preach on, which is amongst the most dense of the New Testament, and which contains, perhaps with the exception of Philippians 2, the most exalted Christological hymn of the New Testament. So, with utter transparency, I declare to you that I have no idea how I'm supposed to do justice to this text in a chapel sermon. But as I was thinking about it, it occurred to me that although Paul is speaking to the general Christians at Colossae, whose faithfulness he had just learned about through Epaphras, in many ways, this text has to do with you who are preparing for the ministry. It is as though, so I'm suggesting, Paul is giving you a roadmap, a curricular outline of what is to be your will, your soul, your heart, and your mind as you prepare for the ministry of Christ's church. Now, as often happens with lectionary readings, the reading begins in the middle of something. And we don't understand the function of this Christological hymn unless we see what has come just before it, which was not read to you, right? Which is precisely the part of the text I think is the most important for you. So if I may, let me look at these words with you. and make a few comments as we go along. Paul has just learned from Epaphras the good faithfulness of the Colossae people, and then he addresses them directly with his hopes and desires for them. So let us allow Paul to be the stand-in for the faculty of this school and for ministers and laity throughout our church who are addressing you with their hopes and prayers. And so from the first day, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's true. We do not cease praying for you, that you who have been in our classes might be faithful servants of Christ Church, leading her by spiritual understanding and wisdom, and by the knowledge of his will. It's an interesting word, knowledge. In the Greek, epignosis, that is to say, a discernment, a recognition of his will by a lived experience. I don't want to overstate this, but by a living experience with God. It's something you acquire. It's not textbook stuff, it's experiential knowledge. And so it evokes, it invites you now, but certainly then in the parish, to keep close to your Savior and your God the Father by prayer. By reflection. So as that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in everything you do, and bearing fruit in every good work. And here we have the language again, increasing in the knowledge of God. It's not dogmatics as such. Increasing in the knowledge of God by way of staying close to him. This is the habit of the mind. It's the habit of the will. It's the habit of your actions. Being in every way strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for every endurance and patience with joy. Now it's this with joy that begins to introduce us to that Christological hymn. That you may remain steadfast in hupomone, that is to say, a certain submission to his will, which may in fact entail suffering and long suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. I think we could translate from the domain, from the dominion, from the power of the dark one, the devil, and has transferred us into the rule of his beloved son. Now that's the translation. But the Greek says, into the kingdom where the rule of the son of his love. That is an interesting phrase, would you not say? The son of his love. That Christ is the bearer, indeed, the incarnation of the Father's love. Right? And that really introduces us to the Christological hymn. In whom, in that Son of the Father's love, we have redemption, namely the forgiveness of sins. I'm always amazed at the spatial character of biblical discourse. It places us into something real. He's not just helping us by holding our hand. Later on, Paul in this letter will speak of us walking in him. But now the translation, which began the reading, says he. But in fact, you have a relative pronoun. Who? The son of his love. Who is that? And now you have the most exalted speech of the New Testament concerning Christ crucified. He's the one through whom everything's been created. All things have been created by him and unto him. He's the goal. Remain steadfast in him and you are on the way. Remain steadfast in him and you will endure all the way through. All things have been created for him. And he's the head of the church, his body. If you are in Christ, O pastor, you participate. Can I say this? Well, I'm going to. You participate and are in him the head of the church. That means you pray for it. You preach. You teach. You bind up the wounds of anxiety and fear and sin. For he is the beginning and the firstborn of all the dead. In order that in everything, I prefer the translation, in everyone, he may be in a position of preeminence. As we are always told, or you are, it's not about you. It's always about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, that's just a summary of what I think this school is all about. It's a little summary of what I hope in your heart and mind is your desire for yourself. It's our desire for you. And I think it's God's desire for you. And so as we enter into this final lap of the academic year, as we move forward to that glorious time when you will be assuming the mantle of your Savior for the benefit and eternal life of your sheep, you might open your Bible from time to time to Colossians 1:15 and following. And just contemplate on the incredible, unspeakable majesty of your Lord, in whose service you will be the icon of the invisible God. That's an exalted title. Look into the heavens, the immensity of the sky. And with Paul Anka, we sing, he has the whole world in his hands. Right? No, we can't see him. He's too big. He's incomprehensible. But he's the icon of it. Who is? Christ crucified. The one who holds the whole world in his hands for you and for me, in order that he might be known, that he might be served and worshiped, became man. And for us and our salvation, went to the cross for our redemption, namely the forgiveness of our sins. There is no cause that you would ever waver in trust and faith in that Jesus. By God's grace, favor, and by the everlasting power of his Son, may it prove to be so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
In our prayers, we remember Mark Holdeman, the father of Tiffany, Kowali, in intensive care. We also pray for Lance and Luke Hoffman, whose father and grandfather Craig is ill. We pray for seminarian Adam Teal, whose father, the Reverend Stephen Teal, has died. We also pray for Claire Fickencher and family as they mourn the death of her mother, Ruth. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord God, the strength of the weak and the consolation of those who suffer, mercifully hear our prayers and grant to Mark and Craig the help of your power, that their sickness may be turned to health. Grant their medical teams and all attending to their care all skill and wisdom, and comfort their families in the midst of their concern for their well-being. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you kept your servants, Stephen and Ruth, steadfast in your word and faith during their earthly lives. Comfort their families in their time of sorrow, that they may ever cling to your sure promise of life in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.